What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I'm live right now, sitting at press level in the end zone. Danny's back in our studios, and we're pleased right now to go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show our buddy Joel Corey, a former sports agent who is an expert on all things NFL contracts and salary cap. Joel, it's good to have you back on in D.C. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Very well.
We're well. We're not convinced that Terry McLaurin and the Commanders are closer to a contract than they were a week or two ago, even though he is now off the PUP list and he's not going to be allowed to continue to kind of rehab in perpetuity. What do you make of where we are in this never-ending saga?
So I'm a little surprised that there hasn't been an agreement reached. One thing I'm curious to see is whether he's now going to have a hold-in since he has passed the physical as opposed to getting cover for what potentially would have been a hold-in, because you can't do anything until you pass the physical. So that'll be telling to me. Is he out there going through full practice or trying to ramp up to practice, or is it going to be like Trey Hendrickson and nope, until a deal's done, I'm not doing anything?
Joel, what's his recourse, talking about McLaurin's recourse, now that I guess all parties agree that he's healthy? I don't know if that's the case. You can correct me if I'm wrong there. But so what sort of could happen now on his end? What kind of levers do he and his agent have left to pull?
That's called the hold-in. And we saw last year with the 49ers that Trent Williams holding out didn't bother Kyle Shanahan as much as Brandon Ayuk holding in. Because in that situation, and there was more drama in that one than this one, that Ayuk wasn't practicing until he was either getting a contract or was traded to someplace of satisfaction. And the out-of-sight, out-of-mind thing seemed to be what Shanahan preferred as opposed to a healthy Brandon Ayuk being a distraction.
Joel Corey on Grant and Danny with us here on The Fan. So, Joel, I get that if he holds out, you can fine him $50K a day, and it's $811,000 if you don't play in a game like tonight. But when he holds in, especially when he's on the PUP list like he has been, he doesn't have to worry as much about the fines. How does that work from the team standpoint, though? You know, are they able to fine him for conduct detrimental? When can, and how does that work for them to start levying fines if they say, you're ready to practice, take him off the PUP list, but he still refuses to?
Yeah, well, teams have a lot of recourse. Most of them, for a core player they're trying to get a new, trying to negotiate a new contract with, don't exercise their rights. The first thing you should do as a team is put in writing, spell out what the issue is. And in this particular case, one thing you could do is cite paragraph 2 of the NFL player contract. That's the employments and services paragraph. The most relevant portions is to give best efforts and loyalty. Player will report promptly for and participate fully in the mini camp, preseason training camp, all meetings, practice sessions, all preseason, regular season, postseason games scheduled by the club. And also Article 42, which is handles club discipline, and treat a practice where you aren't a participant as a missed practice. And there's a different fine amount for that for the regular season and the and also the preseason. It's less than the $50,000 per day fine. And also warning the player that they could be fined for conduct detrimental. The maximum fine for conduct detrimental is 1 week's salary and a suspension of 4 games. And suspensions aren't paid.
Our guy Joel Corey with us here on Grant and Danny. Joel, you wrote for CBS kind of an outside-the-box explanation or you know, idea here for the contract. Let folks know what you were thinking.
Yeah, it is outside the box. The two sides are having a fundamental disagreement on value where they're not close. Maybe try to me, I've heard from agent and also team execs that sometimes the right deal is one where both sides are a little uncomfortable or neither side is particularly happy with it. So from the base value, you come up with a compromise amount and then kind of make a bet on who's right. McLaurin wanting $33 million per year or the Commanders wanting a lot less. And there's a salary escalator, which you do see in a fair amount of NFL contracts, and the very uncommon salary de-escalator, where if a player doesn't achieve a certain statistical level, then he's going to lose money. But there's a way to extinguish the escalator by hitting something in the escalator. And the escalator has to be high enough where it's something that wouldn't be easily achievable. So that's just the basic concept of the thinking outside the box idea.
Salary cap expert and contracts expert on the NFL business, Joel Corey, is with us on Grant and Danny. Joel, who do you think is more right? If the numbers that we're assuming, based on reports, are correct, the team saying that McLaurin should be down around $25 million per year, or the player who wants $33 or more million per year?
I think McLaurin's a little more right in this case. I think you're going to have a hard time if he comes off that 33 number, which I think he needs to just because DK Metcalf, I understand why he's there. DK Metcalf is 2 years younger, and you are slightly more productive, but he's a physical freak in nature. Highest paid number two receiver is T. Higgins at $28.75 million per year. Granted, he might be a number one on a whole bunch of other teams if he got into the open market or forced to trade off of the franchise tag. But in Cincinnati, he's a number two receiver. Second highest paid number two receiver is Jalen Waddle with $28.25 million per year. So you get above that, then I think you got something to work with. If the Commanders aren't going there, then I don't know how you're going to get a deal done. One thing that McLaurin's camp should be asking them is what production do you expect from Terry McLaurin at $25 million per year on a go-forward basis, since you're paying him for what you expect him to do, not for what he has done in the past. And based on that answer, that can give the agent some ammunition to work with to try to refute what the Commanders are thinking or show the production for what they're talking about is more in line with potentially what the Commanders are thinking. So that would be a key question I would ask.
Joel, in your estimation, outside looking in, has somebody misread this situation? Thinking from the team side, maybe underestimated how, you know, maybe dug in the agent, the player are, and the agent maybe underestimated the team in some way. Has anybody kind of misevaluated in your view?
Yeah, I think both have. Mm-hmm. One, I think there was the false security from the agent. We got a deal done last time in June. We can get one done fairly quickly. But this is a different regime, and how they think about things isn't the same as when you did the contract in 2022. And two, from the team standpoint, you don't pay anybody really on this team if you look at it. Highest paid player is someone you just acquired in a trade, Laremy Tunsil. You have to redo him next year at the latest. You got a rookie quarterback, so if there's ever a time you are going to, quote-unquote, overpay someone, now is the time since you are in a Super Bowl window with a cheap quarterback.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Joel, am I wrong to say this, though? I feel like other than the Gold Jacket Hall of Fame types, Devontae Adams or somebody, there's not really a precedent for a guy McLaurin's age getting what he's asking for. Now, I know what his agent's saying. His agent's saying, don't worry about the age. We're going into year 7 and 8, and that's when guys get paid, and the team disagrees. They're going, yeah, they do get paid then, but you're older. And that's how they're on different pages. But am I missing one? Like Mike Evans, Cortland Sutton. I know Terry's a better player than Cortland Sutton, but the market for an older guy is the market, right? Who's gotten paid at his age that isn't, you know, one of the greats at the position over the last bunch of years?
Well, the agent should contend. Mike Evans took a hometown discount to stay put because that deal was done before free agency, and he's a little bit older. You can explain away Sutton because last year is an outlier if you look at his career. Was he really the number one receiver prior to Jerry Jeudy getting traded? That's why I would get back to what are you expecting him to do on a go-forward basis? You tell me what you expect out of him. Is it what he's been doing in the past? Is it a slight reduction, 70 catches, 900 yards? You tell me what you think this $25 million per year is worth, and then I'm going to take whatever you numbers you think that he's going to put up and look at what the average production, the average salary is for that production, and go from there. But that's why I think that's a key point to ask. But you are right that from the standpoint of recently, the older receivers haven't gotten paid. But if you're expecting him to be the same player he is, which is the player he was when he signed a lot younger, then that supports the idea that maybe you should be paying him a lot more than you're offering.
Joel, in your time as an agent, the complicated part of this is we're talking about a future contract when Terry is under contract for this year. So sort of regardless, he owes a season. And I know that's his only leverage to kind of guarantee that future deal. But when would you advise or what kind of dialogue would you be having at this point where you go, hey, you got to still play this year, right, if we want to get the things that we want to get? Like, walk us through that, what might be going on right now.
Yeah, you have to give your player the worst-case scenario or the downside in a situation, because really, Terry doesn't have a lot of leverage. His leverage is this team isn't what it will be with him fully out there. He's your deep threat. I know Debo has flashed that during training camp, but he's really a run-after-catch guy, underneath guy. So if you guys are going to get to where you want to go, you really are going to need a fully invested Terry. But at the same time, he's got to look at what's my alternative to signing. It's a potential franchise tag next year, which will be slightly over $30 million. And then if you play that out, you're going to be, because next year you'll be, that's your season of 31, you'd be 32. That's not an optimal situation either. So at some point, if you haven't already, you got to come off of this $33 million per year number. Yeah, I understand why you want it. You're not getting it. And try to come up with a deal you can live with that you think the Commanders can live with.
Is there something to be said for, and I know you've been on the agent side primarily throughout your career, but the Commanders could tag him, as you just said, at 30 and basically have him at 2 years and $55 million for the years that they want him for, even though it's a hard bargain and I don't love how we've gotten here, that Peters is doing not only the right thing but a really smart team thing. Just sit back, do nothing, tag him next year. He can be unhappy, but he'll be unhappy here.
Yeah, but do you really want a Terry McLaurin who decides to me, most players aren't healthy by midseason, and they ignore injuries to play football. You really want him, well, you know what? I'm hurt. I'm not playing through this, something you could have played through otherwise, and your season starts to go sideways. That can kind of be cutting off your nose despite your face for him. But it wouldn't be the first time a player has decided, I'm going to try to preserve myself. And then that takes away his argument that durability is not a concern. So it could go sideways in a lot of manners.
This is also, and Joel Corey with us here on Grant and Danny, it's partly a game of chicken. You're hoping that somebody blinks first or somebody kind of backs down and then, you know, sort of crosses that line there in the middle. What's the clock look like here as we're starting to look at the regular season a few weeks away? The preseason schedule is kind of odd. They don't play a real game for 3 weeks, but it is 3 weeks away, and he hasn't done much just yet. How could you sort of see this playing out with that kind of, you know, ticking 60-minute style clock in the background?
Well, he's got to figure out how long do I need to be ready to play and be the player I've been throughout my career so far. I think on one level, the new regime has proven their point. They can drive a hard bargain. I know one of their concerns has probably been, this is our first big negotiation. We don't want to set the tone that we can be pushovers or we can be taken advantage of. I don't think anybody's going to say that, regardless of what you get if there's a long-term deal consummated by the two sides. But he's got to figure out, when do I really need to start going to play football? Because he can't sit out the whole year. His contract with Toll. One, he can't leave, because then that becomes a whole other issue, because you could be sent a 5-day letter. And if you don't come back at the end of the 5-day period, the team has the option to put you on the reserve left squad list and your season is over.
So let's get a prediction from you before we let you go. And our contract and salary cap expert, Joel Corey, always great here on Grant and Danny. You see his work on CBS, and he is just so sharp as a former agent on all of these matters and helps us navigate them. So give us a prediction on how you think this ends, contract, no contract, what it would look like. And then also, if you don't mind, just for my own curiosity, he's off PUP, but they haven't had a practice yet, really. Do you think he's going to practice as soon as he can now that he's off PUP and that was mutual, or do you think that's just the team taking him off PUP and it won't change anything?
I'll address the contract part first. I think a deal gets done. I think it's a 3-year extension, so that runs New Year's 26, 27, 28. Whatever's in the first 2 years of the contract, 25 and 26, will be fully guaranteed at signing. The question is where they'll be any guarantee in 2027, and when does that vest, in 2027 or 2026? I think it's a deal that both teams don't love. It's slightly over T. Higgins. Maybe there's some incentives and escalators for he can get closer to what he wants. I don't think he practices initially. I could be wrong, since he's off PUP, because then it's a hold-in, unless the two sides are starting to make movement and get close, and then he might feel better about practicing initially. But at some point, it wouldn't surprise me if the Commanders decided to start exercising their rights, which most teams don't in these situations for hold-in.
Joel, awesome as always, man. Really appreciate it. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Great insight from Joel Corey.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.